Welcome to this week's Point Community Church Sunday Sermon. If you'd like to learn more about the Point Community Church, please visit our website at tpcc.org.au.
Well, bouncing off last week, we've been learning that without faith it's impossible to please God, but with faith, the reverse is true as well, isn't it? With faith, it is possible to please God in all of our lives, in every way, from faith. I love the story of Eric Liddell, the Olympic athlete, the runner, who said, you know the film Chariots of Fire, you know, you've got Harold Abrahams, who runs, you know, like this, and it's his weapon. It's his weapon. But then there's Eric Liddell who runs like this. And he's free, and he says that God made me fast, and when I run, I feel his pleasure. It's a beautiful quote. I love the film, I love the story, and I love what he's talking about there. And I hope that as we've gone from last week to this week, that as you've tried to live your life from faith for Jesus, that you've felt his pleasure. So I hope that that's been at least part true for you this week, and on we go into our lives. But today, as we come to these chapters, 8, 9 and 10, we're going to be thinking a little bit about God's displeasure. It's interesting, in the book of Leviticus, as we were saying last week, it's very much an instruction manual, not the type of thing you'd read going to bed. But these three chapters are unique in Leviticus in that they are the only narrative. This is the only bit of story we get in the whole book, so savour this moment. And I want us to think about it today, these three chapters, that they hang together like three pieces of wall art. Ordination, visitation, devastation. Three pieces of wall art. We're going to begin with ordination in Leviticus 8. And we're thinking here about Moses. The big day had finally arrived. The morning air crisp with anticipation for what this day would bring. And now with seven chapters of detail under his belt, verses 1 to 4 of chapter 8, the key people are here. The equipment is here, and the crowds are beginning to arrive. Verse 4, just as the Lord commanded. Now, there's nothing like a morning shower to help you wake up, to freshen you up, but this shower, verses 5 to 9, was mandatory. And today, someone else would be dressing him, arranging his wardrobe, choosing his uniform, his clothing, and decorating him in royal attire. Gold, crown, robe. Verse 9, just as the Lord commanded. Now both people and place needed to be anointed with oil, consecrating them for their task, verses 10 to 13. And the sons, too, would need to wear their special uniform. Verse 13, just as the Lord commanded. But one object in particular needed purification, consecration, to make atonement for it. And a whole bull would be burned up as a sin offering for this inanimate object, the altar. Verses 14 to 17, just as the Lord commanded, verse 17. And then there was the burnt offering as well in verses 18 to 21, and this time it would be a ram. We've seen this before, haven't we? A pleasing aroma, a food offering for the Lord. And here it is again, verse 21, just as the Lord commanded. But then it all turns a bit weird and strange. Did you notice that? In verses 22 to 29, because there's going to be blood put on their earlobes, their right earlobes to be specific, their thumbs, their right thumbs to be specific, and their toes, actually just their right toes. Because these priests would need to be marked out. And it's kind of the whole point, isn't it? It's strange because they would be separated, marked out, identified, and labelled to listen, act, you get it? Listen, ears, act with the hands, and walk in a holy way. And so another ram would be offered for their ordination, along with bread and wafer and oil, a pleasing aroma to the Lord, a food offering. Verse 29, just as the Lord commanded. And all of this would be repeated for 7 days. Verses 30 to 36. Because that is how long ordination for a priest takes. Verse 33. And that is what would be needed to make atonement, payment, purification for them. But this was not some empty ceremony, not dress-ups, painting and cooking. This wasn't playing around with religion. It wasn't a joke. No. Verse 35, this was so that they would not die. And for the seventh time we read, all of this was just as the Lord commanded. Wall hanging number 2, chapter 9. This time we're not focusing on Moses as the main character, but now Aaron. The big day had finally arrived. The morning, crisp with anticipation, and with 7 days of ordination under his belt. No doubt he felt a little bit nervous, you know, first day on the job. Would he remember everything? Would he recall all that he's meant to recall? Would he actually get it right? No doubt there was a little bit of nerves. But now he actually gets to do it, to really do it. The sin offering, the burnt offering, the peace offering, the grain offering. First for himself and then for the people. Moses said it and now Aaron does it. All of the steps in all of their detail. And in this chapter, everything goes off without a hitch. Or shall we say, everything was burned up as the Lord commanded Moses. And it worked. Just have a look at verse 22 of chapter 9. We read, then Aaron lifted up his hands towards the people and blessed them. And he came down from offering the sin offering and the burnt offering and the peace offering. And Moses and Aaron went into the tent of meeting. And when they came out, they blessed the people. And here it is. The glory of the Lord appeared to all the people. And fire came out from before the Lord and consumed the burnt offering and the pieces of the fat on the altar. And when all the people saw it, they shouted and fell on their faces. It was real. It worked. You know, a lot of religions have a lot of priests and a lot of altars and a lot of sacrifices and a lot of incense. But here, God shows up in glory. His holiness revealed, perfect in power, love, and purity. We had the ordination in chapter 8. Now the visitation. God appears. All of this sacrifice, all of this blood, all of this fat, long loaves of the liver, and all of that, the bulls and the rams and the offerings, authenticated, legitimized, accepted. No, they're not the words, are they? Atoned. Atonement has been made. It's been paid. It's been cleansed. And now the Lord is pleased. He's present and there's blessing. This was a day he would never forget. This was a day they would never forget. A high point, surely, in the history of Israel. Finally, the goal of the Exodus story is coming true. The purpose of all those instructions, chapters 1 to 7, the purpose of the ordination, the purpose of all that preparation, now coming to fulfillment. The goal of the Exodus coming true. And can you see? The joy of Eden returning. What a day. Probably should be highlighted in our Bible, shouldn't it? Shining in yellow. What a day. Until ordination, visitation, devastation. Chapter 10. With the shout of the people still ringing in their ears, no doubt, and with the people's faces barely lifted from the ground, Nadab and Abihu, verse 1, offered unauthorized fire before the Lord. After 7 days of training, now they get it all wrong. This was an offering which the Lord had not commanded. Can you see the contrast? That first chapter, as the Lord commanded, as the Lord commanded. Moses said, the Lord commanded, and they did it. And then ordination, it's the same. But here, there's no word of command. There's just, they go out and they take. Against the Lord's command. It's almost like, well, it's Eden gone wrong. And fire, verse 2, came out from before the Lord and consumed not the burnt offering, but them. And they died before the Lord. No doubt we want an explanation for this, and it's given in verse 3. Moses said to Aaron, this is what the Lord has said. Among those who are near me, think priesthood, I will be sanctified, seen to be holy. And before all people, I will be glorified. Nadab and Abihu got it wrong. Sometimes people get it wrong when they try to represent God before people. But God says, I will be sanctified. I will be glorified. And we know that in the end, every knee will bow in heaven and on earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. This is a tragic scene, isn't it? Aaron can only watch in silence as his cousins, or their cousins rather, carry them out. They're still in their uniforms, verses 4 and 5. He cannot mourn. He's not allowed to mourn publicly for his own sons, verse 6, lest he die. He cannot leave that place. He has to stay there, verse 7, lest he die. He cannot drink alcohol before he goes on duty, verses 8 and 9. Lest he die. For, because he must distinguish between, verse 10, he must distinguish between the holy and the common, the unclean and the clean. That's his job as a priest, to distinguish. He needs his wits about him. He needs to be able to think clearly. He needs to be there on duty, and he needs to, verse 11, teach the people and keep on sacrificing. We look at this story and we think, oh, the God, the angry God of the Old Testament. Praise God, we're in the New Testament now. But can I suggest to you this morning that the thud of chapter 10 reverberates throughout the Old Testament and into the New Testament? Because there's another duo, isn't there, in the Bible? Not just Nadab and Abihu. Do you remember them in Acts chapter 5? They came to offer something too, didn't they, to the Lord? But they lied about it. They lied to the Holy Spirit. And do you remember what happened to Ananias? He fell down dead and they carried him out. His wife came into the room where he had been and the apostle said to him, how much did you sell that property for? And she lied. And she too fell down dead and they carried her out. Same God, you see. Old Testament, New Testament. Praise God that Jesus is our great high priest, that he has offered a perfect once for all sacrifice, and we can now come confidently into his presence. But here's the thing. Under the old covenant, God's people had a priesthood. In the new covenant, God's people are the priesthood. We are a royal priesthood, God's holy people. He has chosen us. We too have to be sober. We too have to have our powers of discernment trained by constant practice so that we can distinguish. You see, that's the language of priesthood, isn't it? To distinguish between good and evil. Hebrews 5:14. We too, in our community, are to teach one another. And we are to continually offer sacrifice, to come before a holy God and then to walk out the door and represent him to a watching world. We are a royal priesthood. So I want to ask the question this morning, who is sufficient for such a ministry? How are we to do this, to go about it? And I want to suggest to you that the answer, well, we've already seen it. Seven times in chapter 8. Again in chapter 9. And then, by contrast, we've seen it again in chapter 10. Do you know what it is? It's that little phrase. As the Lord commanded. Worship is not self-expression. Can't make it up. Can't decide that, well, this is how I want to worship God. This is how I prefer to worship him. When Heather and I were getting to know one another, I thought I was pretty good at this, and so we went on our first date, and I ordered a Greek salad. As time went on, I realised that the red onion was moving to the edge of the plate. I thought I knew how to please her. A second date, we went out for Asian, and I thought I'd get Singapore noodles. Over the course of the meal, I began to realise that she was allergic to prawns. I thought I knew how to please her. I began to buy her gifts. And over time I realised that the things that I liked weren't necessarily the things that she liked. I needed to ask her, what do you like? How would you like me to love you, to please you? And it can be very confusing, can't it? Because we go out into, well, different churches and we meet different people, and some churches do it this way and some churches do it that way, and it can be quite confusing. Do you sit, do you stand, do you read it, do you have to wear a robe, what do you do? How do you worship God? Is it really, really serious? Or is it really, really free? How much creativity can there be? What does it look like to be a true worshiper of God, to worship Him in spirit and in truth, as the Lord commanded? He must determine the shape and regulate our worship. Surely we've got to learn that, haven't we, from this passage? We don't get to decide. In every other relationship we do it, don't we? We ask, what would you like? Well, we should. Eventually we learn to. How much more then with God? You see, these things happen to them as examples. And we are to be grateful that we're receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, but let us offer to God acceptable worship. And here it is. With reverence and awe. For our God is a consuming fire. That's from the New Testament, Hebrews 12:28. We are to serve the Lord, according to Psalm 2:11, with fear. We were talking about this at the dinner table with our kids. Should we fear God? We don't fear Him because He's bad, because He might fly off the handle, because He's unpredictable. We fear God because we're bad. He is holy, holy, holy. He is perfect in power, in love, impurity. We serve Him with fear, yes, and we rejoice with trembling. Isn't that interesting? We sometimes think it's one or the other, don't we? We're like that. You're either happy or you're sad. But when we come to God, it's mixed, isn't it? We're free, we're praising Him, we're thankful, we're rejoiced, we're filled with inexpressible joy, Peter says. And yet we're shaking in our boots. We're filled with gladness, and yet there's a gravity. We're so happy, we should be, that we're humble to the ground, aren't we? Humble to the ground. I love that line in the song we sang. You know, here we stand, praise God. But here I don't belong. Don't belong here. That's it, isn't it? That's how we must worship Him, as He is commanded. Well, let's pray. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Father God, we come to You this morning confessing who You are, confessing, Lord, that we are sinners. And we thank You so much that we can come into Your presence with confidence because of the Lord Jesus. Would You teach us to worship with both gladness and gravity, to rejoice with trembling before You. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening. Tune in next week for our latest sermon, or better yet, join us live at 9:30 or 5 p.m. Sunday. You can find all the details on our website at tpcc.org.au.